Welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, where we unpack the top political stories of the week. My name is Mike Siluma. My guests this week are Usibonga Konke Shoba, the Sunday Times Politics Editor, as well as political journalist Kgothatso Madisa. This week, we're looking at the long-delayed Gauteng government reshuffle, which finally happened after much horse trading behind the scenes. Also, we will be talking to Andile Lungisa, who we will remember has just been released on parole after being sentenced to a prison sentence over the his assault of a fellow councillor in Nelson Mandela Bay.
Man, this aircon is racist.
I've never, ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
Order!
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shape.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come in?
Point of order.
Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, Pramek.
Kgothatso, you are a first-time guest, so we're going to start with you as a courtesy. This reshuffle that we've seen in Gauteng, can you just very briefly give us the background to it? In other words, what precipitated it?
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, Bramag. So the reason why we had to have a reshuffle in Premier David Makhura's cabinet was because of the resignation or the axing rather of the former health MEC Bandile Masuku, who had to be fired following a special investigating unit's report that into the procurement of COVID-19 personal protective equipment. Although it didn't find any corruption in relation to Masuku personally, it found that he failed to conduct oversight as the political head of the health department. If you remember, a lot of corruption scandals emerged out of this PPE procurement, especially in Gauteng. So they found that the SIU found that no, he could have done more to prevent it. That's why we had to have this reshuffle. Where our understanding of what happened here is that a lot of people, a lot of MECs in Makhura's cabinet wanted to be appointed into Masuku's position. We understand that MEC Lebogang Maile was one of the people who had put his hand up for this position. However, this caused a lot of problems in the ANC, who have the powers to deploy and recall ANC members. So they had to have a discussion about who to deploy. When Maile's name came up, Makhura was very much against it, so much that he went to the president to ask that Pakistan, one of his biggest allies in the provincial leadership, he asked that he be released from his national duties so that he can be sewn into to his cabinet.
Okay. I think before we go further, who are the new MECs? The changes that have happened. You've just mentioned Pakistan. Who are the other people who've been moved around?
Yeah, so in total, three departments were affected. So you had Dr. Noma Temba Mokgethi being moved from social development and has now been appointed as a health MEC, replacing Bandile Masuku. You have Murakani Musube, who was economics development, economic development being moved to social development. And then obviously Park Stau comes in as the new MEC for economic development. So those are the three departments that were affected in this reshuffle.
Okay. All right. Now, Sibonga Konke, you know, when you fire somebody, as happened in the case of Bandile Masuku, Dr. Bandile Masuku being fired, you would expect that the person doing the firing has got a plan. at the back of the mandate, plan B, to say, I'm going to move Bandile Masugu out. This is the person I'm going to put in. And you move almost immediately to put in the replacement. Why did the replacement process take so long? It's taken almost 8 weeks, if not more.
The Premier, Pramaik, the Premier never wanted to act against them. Dr. Masugu, before all the investigations had been completed, his hand was forced. His hand was forced by his PEC that he should act against Dr. Masugu. If it was up to him, he wouldn't have done that. And you remember when he made announcement in October, he suggested that he was not going to appoint a replacement until he gets what he called the final report, and that he will leave that position vacant, and that the other MEC Mamabulu was going to continue to act in that position. But then again, he went back to the PEC of the ANC, and that PEC forced his hand once again. And instructed him that he must appoint a replacement. It tells you a story of a premier who's not really in a premier and the ANC chairman who's not really in charge in his own province. He's being contested within his own provincial executive committee, and there is a powerful faction that is really running the show, and that faction is the one that forces him to make all these decisions, and it tells you that he's a man on borrowed time, if I can use that term, and because if that faction has its way, Premier David Makura won't come back as chairman of the ANC at the next conference.
Now, I saw in terms of Simon Wonka says that he's being that David Makura is being contested, and he might not, to the extent that he might not come back, you know, if there were to be an election. Now, I saw some statements being attributed to the ANC Youth League in Gauteng, talking about, you know, not wanting to make way for Pax Tau to be sworn in so that he can, you know, to become an MPL so that he can become an MEC, etc. And that the what they called the eldership, you know, not wanting to move over, etc. What was that about? I mean, is the ANC Youth League in Gauteng in one faction or the other, or are they just on their own independent mission?
So that's a difficult question, because I'm not entirely sure which faction they fall under. But what made them make that statement, which was very hard-hitting on the ANC leadership, was the news that in order for Pax Tau to come in, one of theirs was asked to resign. So this did not sit well at all with them. So remember, the youth league feels, I mean, they're under attack, if that's the correct word to use. They've been disbanded. Now there's a youth league crisis committee. So they're fighting for space. So now when you try and touch one of their own, they will fight back. So one of their own was said to have been asked to resign, and the youth league felt that, you know, they had to act against that decision. It's still not clear whether which one of the MPLs will have to resign in order to make way for Pax Tau, but someone will have to step down in order for Pax Tau to become an MPL. Because if you remember, he's not the provincial list of representatives that were sent to the MPL.
Mm. If I can come in, Pramaik, yes. I think another way of reading the statement issued by the youth league, and the speculation within the ANC that actually that anger came from the fact that Premier David Makura seemed to have outsmarted his opponents, because during the lobbying processes, they had a different outcome in mind, different names that they had been pushing forward, and that Premier David Makura just ignored all those names, and then it came as a shock to them when he announced Perkstown's name instead of the name that they wanted. I know that Kutato has mentioned one of the names, but there were people who were lining, were being lined up for this job, and there was an expectation that Makura's hand would be forced to look at those names, but he didn't. Instead, he went to someone who serves in the national government and picked that person for the job.
Mm. And what would happen if Bandile Masugu is still challenging the SIU report, which was used as a basis for firing him, isn't it? What would happen if he wins his appeal? Would he be able to come back, or would it be up to the ANC's deployment committee to decide, or up to the premier?
Unfortunately, political deployment, you can't go to the CMA, you can't go to the rush to the Labour Court. Those are decisions of the deployment committee and the PEC, as we have seen in the case of Andile Masugu, and as well as the premier. It's his prerogative to choose who he wants in his cabinet. It's not a kind of an employment that you can challenge. There is no union there that can represent Dr. Masugu. So unfortunately, you'll have to go back and start afresh from the ground. And if you remember, Pramaika, I take you back a few years ago, the current finance MEC in Gauteng was appointed the MEC of Agriculture, and she did not last in that post because there was an issue around the purchase of the car and how her husband allegedly fetched the car from the dealership, and the car was stolen, and she was eventually kicked out of the cabinet. But she's been able to make a comeback, and I believe that Bandile Masugu still has time on his side. He's a very young man, and he can still go back to ANC structures and work with those structures, and eventually get elected, and maybe, who knows, and in the next coming 5-10 years, he might be back in the cabinet.
Okay, gentlemen, let's leave it there. And I'd like to thank you very much. My guests, Sibonga Wonke-Shoba, who's the Sunday Times politics editor, as well as political journalist Kgothatso Madisa. Thank you very much for joining us to unpack the developments that have unfolded in the Gauteng provincial government in the last week. Let's take a short break now. And when we return, we'll be talking with perhaps one of the most controversial political personalities in Nelson Mandela Bay, former councillor Andile Lungisa. You remember, he's just been released on parole after serving time for assaulting a DA councillor in 2018.
Uyazi umzansi Celebville is filled with flavor,
but you know that ge o batla go tseba gore fame e re mongwaneng, or who secured the latest bag,
or just who's dripping with sauce,
and who's adding the spice.
Because if it's hot, then it's definitely in the Chisa pod.
Chisa!
Welcome back to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly. We'd like to welcome now our guest, who's the former Nelson Mandela Bay councillor, Andile Lungisa, who you'll remember has recently been released on parole after being jailed for assault. Welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Mr. Andile Lungisa. Thank you very much for your time. First, I'd like to ask you, looking back at what has happened over the last couple of months, even maybe over the last year, do you regret what happened in that fateful meeting, in that fateful council meeting that happened?
We are not happy about what happened because we thought at least the speaker should have handled the council meeting better. When the meeting was descending into chaos, he could have used the rules of the council to mitigate any form of chaos. I think we are not happy because there's no one who's happy to go to court for all the years for something which should have been managed at that day.
Mm. You know, A lot of us know that, politics can get very heated. You know, most of the time it does get very heated, you know, but it seldom gets to a point where it results in violence. At that moment, what exactly had provoked you?
No, at that moment, the unfortunate part, I'm happy because engaging at this level, where it is Sunday Times, I'm also hoping that I know historically we do have what is called investigative journalist. If you can give yourself time to analyze that video is 32 seconds. You check portion by portion. You will see in that video that I was touched almost 5 times. One counselor jumped from at the back and then he came to me, he grabbed me on my left hand shoulder, on my right hand shoulder, and then also on my left hand arm. That was one person. If in terms of the council arrangements, that person sits at the back, he jumped on top of tables. The second one who became a victim, Councillor Rhino, came in front to my stomach. He touched me 2 times in my face. It's when I then responded. I responded after being attacked number 3-2 to 5 times. It's what really provoked me. Even if you can see on the same video, when I turned, a councillor called Jordan, he was holding a biggest pole with the flag. He hit me at the back. What I did then, I'm not buying your face or anybody. It was what was called classical defense. I only defended myself under attack at that moment. Even the issue of the jug, I don't know where jug came from because I was standing, but it became the unfortunate situation because I had only one arm which was available, and 3 guys which were on top of me.
But if we get out of that particular incident, you know, because I think the public image that remained was the one where, you know, the actual violence happened.
No, what happened? Because the video was taken by the councillor of the DA, Councillor Rose, who's involved in the media. He edited the video. He only showed the part where I was responding. All other portions, the attack, where I was attacked, is not shown on the video. That's the unfortunate part, because what was then circulated, even what was used at the local court, it is the edited video. It was not the original video.
Okay.
You must remember, I was convicted on the wrong information at the local court. That is why when I normally say to people, for any upper court, if a client is mismanaged at the local court, there's nothing which any other court can do. You can stream and jump if you go to higher courts. That's the unfortunate part about the subsequent judicial system. It's not like if you go to countries like in the US, where there's what is called a jury, where the judges will even go and examine the evidence. They will send the people from the court. In our case, we'll have a magistrate who comes there and sit, and then it decides on what he has, and then people will be given life sentences. And then we'll find out as this person is an innocent person. I think we need to go deeper in terms of our justice system. We need to modernize our justice system. I think it's what is lacking in our own system in South Africa. Because we have number of innocent people who are in chains.
Okay, so just so that we get off this particular theme, for the record, you know, your views on the use of violence would be what?
No, in my entire life, if I can talk about myself, in my entire life, I was never, ever involved in any fight. Even my parents were surprised. about what happened on that day is the area which I'm not strong at to be involved on any matter which involves violence. Even the person who became a victim is my friend in the council, is my colleague. He sits next to me. We normally eat chocolates, eat peanuts. I will bring chocolates, we bring peanuts, always chatting, laughing. I never, even in that morning, knew that during the course of the day, there will be that chaos.
Okay. I'd like us to move on to other things now that relate to, you know, to politics. You know, you are quoted as saying that President Ramaphosa must stop attacking former President Zuma. What did you mean?
No. What I've raised, people, they don't understand the context. I didn't say President Ramaphosa is attacking President Zuma. I have talked holistically how must be able to manage issues of national interest, how must be able to manage national unity, peace and harmony amongst Africans, amongst South Africans, irrespective of color. What I've said President Mandela became a president. Whilst there was a president Botha in the apartheid period, there was President de Klerk in the apartheid period. President Mandela never prosecuted and persecuted those presidents because he understood the national unity, our national interest as a country. President Mandela left. President Mbeki took over. Even when there were conflicts, there were divergent views on the question of HIV/AIDS, where President Mandela had strong views. President Mbeki protected the image and the dignity of President Mandela, including President de Klerk was still alive, who's still alive. But unfortunately, President Botha was no longer alive. What is happening in South Africa is that on daily basis, you will watch television. President Zuma is taken from this court to that court. You don't see a political support from the national leadership supporting the former president. Now, my point which I've raised it also in the context of analyzing what is called the state of the nation politics. But in South Africa, whilst we've got democracy and freedom, others, they are not happy about this democracy and freedom in terms of the political discussion. I said, President Cyril Ramaphosa must create an environment where President Zuma can be able to live freely without being attacked by the arms of state that President Zuma on a daily basis is attacked. And then I went further to say, as Andile, I was deployed by the movement. I worked in a number of African countries. There's no person in this country at my age who have traveled the continent the way I've traveled. I was based in Khartoum. I was in South Sudan, in Juba. I know the civil war in the area of Sudan. I know the conflict between the Salva Kiir Machar in the South Sudan. I was there. Part of the people were working in that part. I know what happened in Libya. I was there. I've been going in and out of Western Sahara. The dynamics and the conflicts between your Salva Kiir, including your Machar, in the South Sudan. I've been into Libya. I know what happened in Libya. I've been in countries like in Western Sahara. I've been in Cote d'Ivoire. I know when Cote d'Ivoire descended into chaos, also into civil war. Mm-hmm. And then I'm saying, people, they don't know what takes African countries into chaos. It's not big things. It's minor thing. And then I said, it's important to manage the project of the national unity also amongst Africans. That unity, it is equally important. It cannot not only be among Africans and whites only. That unit amongst Africans is also an important unit. You cannot have a situation where former leaders are treated in a way which will also undermine their own dignity. And then I'm raising this matter to say that our generation, those communities who have been part of the Youth League, there is no period where we have never, ever spoke against a sitting president. We contested President Zuma towards Mangaung. We're not sharing the same ideas. We contested President Mbeki towards Polokwane. We were the ones in Stellenbosch, which we contested when President Mbeki was solid, working with our President Zuma, solid, all of them happy. We contested. We're saying there's no period, but people who are very seasonal in their own minds, who don't think all the time, they like to pick and choose. We're saying, if you follow my participation in politics, interrogate over which period where Lungisa has never engaged a sitting president, have never spoke openly about any sitting president. Now, it seems like in this period, we must no longer speak because the president is President Cyril Ramaphosa. We're saying we spoke when it was President Zuma. It's us who stormed the stage in Durban on the question of the economy of this country, in the NGC of the ANC, where we had strong views as a youth league. We have been there. We fought all the time because there's a program of action, which was saying it must be implemented. We forced that program under President Zuma, were forcing that program under President Cyril. But when you speak, people who likes conference, they'll say, no, because of Nazareth.
Let's talk about something else that's related. Just being in prison, I don't think at any point you ever imagined that you would end up in prison under those circumstances. How did that impact you?
No. I never thought I would ever be in prison. But when I was there in prison, I became so happy to be exposed to the judicial system now in totality. And then when I was in prison, I had to deal with a number of cases. I will give you, you will see there are serious injustices which are being committed on a daily basis, especially against the poor. The ones who are coming from northern areas, in the colored areas, also in the townships, you will cry tears if you can go to correction centers and ask and follow their cases. They are being slaughtered by the courts. There are two, just to give you example, there's a case of two young guys, the other one is 18, the other one is 21. They stole a bed. The value of this bed is 300 rand outside Livingston Hospital. Next to Livingston Hospital, it's just they put their old beds at the Livingston Hospital outside in a yard. They stole this bed there. They took without permission. They were then arrested by the security command and the police. And then they then went to court, and then they were then sentenced 18 months direct imprisonment. There's a young white guy at the age of 19. He also stole the bed there in Livingston Hospital, next to Livingston Hospital. Also, the value of this bed is 300 rand. He was given a fine of 3,000 rand. Same offense. Youngsters, Africans given 18 months direct imprisonment. A white young gentleman at the age of 19 is given a fine of 3,000 rand. In the same courts, if a person does not appear in court, if it's a white person, is given 10 days if we are supposed to go to court and then you didn't go to court, they are given 10 days. Africans and the colored they are given 30 days in prison. If I'm talking about cases, you can come at Sunday times, I'll take you there. I will show you my diary of those cases, their names, that they have noted all those cases. A person who steals a perfume in a shopping center in the Western suburbs, in this case is the Walmart Park shopping center, is sentenced direct a year in prison. A person who stole a same perfume in a shopping center in the township is not is given a fine. Same offense. That means if you steal in the suburbs, you must rot in jail. If you steal in the township, no, that's you'll cry tears. The last case which I'll give you, which is a classic one. There's a white guy, there's an African, he was a counsel. He was convicted for a fraud of 20,000. He was given 5 years direct imprisonment to St. Albans. 5 years. There's a white Indian guy, given same a fraud of 95,000. Same merits, same almost everything, similar. A person who was presiding over the case is the same magistrate at a PE commercial crimes court, was given house arrest for 6 months. It's in India. There's a third one, a white gentleman committed a fraud of 1.2 million and then was given a suspended sentence. And then we must simply say, no. It's because of 1994. It's freedom. All of us must behave and not raise the brutality of our justice system when it comes to Africans.
I wanted to ask you the other question before we run out of time. What are your plans going forward?
No. My plans going forward, they are still the old plans of a generation. Our generation, we adopted a program of action in 2011 at Nazareth Conference, which is called Economic Freedom in Our Lifetime. We are not different from the generation of 1944, which came with the program of action in 1948, which was led by Nkosi Majomuzi and Anton Lembede. Our responsibility is to tamper with the status quo. The commanding heights of the economy must go to the hands of the majority, especially Africans. We cannot allow a situation where Africans, they become beggars in their own land of birth. We cannot allow a situation where we've got 20 million unemployed South Africans, which the biggest number is young people between the age of 14 and 35. Our focus, it will be on that program. Global must continue with that program, including nationalization of Reserve Bank, establishment of the state-owned bank, taking the land back to our people without paying, which is called expropriation without compensation. It's what will be, it's what I'll be doing. Going to community by community, village by village, town by town, city by city. We will never ask a permission from no one for that. Because if we don't do it on the 21st of December 42, Nelson Mandela, Govan Mbeki, Raymond Mhlaba, they were arrested at the Rivonia trial at our age. They stayed all the years. If as a younger generation, we cannot change what is happening in South Africa, I'm telling you, people, they will come and pee in our own graves. they would say this was a useless generation ever, which never managed to change the condition, because it was a generation which was kneeling down to the leadership. It was a generation which was treating the leadership, those are office bearers, like kings and queens. If people, they want to be kings or queens, they must just stage wars, even kingdoms in the ancient times. It was based not based on that. It was based on the power that you can conquer other nations. We must never allow in South Africa. Those who are in position of power, like myself and others, they must be able to serve the poor with dignity. If unemployment in South Africa is keep going up, it simply says the policies which are implementing, they are not working.
Okay.
Also, in my entire life, the last point, I never sang this song of, 25 years of democracy, 26 years of democracy, 27 years of democracy. I'm not in that song. Because if you talk about the Cuban Revolution, which was led by Fidel Castro and Che Guevara, they defeated Batista in 1959. In 1975, they were fighting in Angola in the Battle of Quito Carnaval, liberating African countries in 15 years. They were already fighting in Angola for our own freedom. Cubans, in a period of 15 years, could read and write. South Africans, in a period of 26 years, they cannot read and write. We must be able, ourselves, we must be able to critique our own revolution. If we cannot critique ourselves, we will collapse. We must be able to critique ourselves, but people, they do not want criticism. Even today, all the leaders, if you can observe, they go to communities and speak. They are no longer being engaged in communities. But in the past, if you are a leader, you'd go and present your case, you'd sit, you'll hear people, they will engage you, you'll have a way forward, you'd leave. Today, people, they just speak. Everything is more of a slogan.
Okay. Mr. Andile Lungisa, we'd like to thank you very much for joining us and for your time. We really appreciate you joining us on the Sunday Times Politics Weekly.
No, thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.
And all the best to you.
Engos.
That's all we have time for on the Sunday Times Politics Weekly this week. I'd like to thank my guests, Usibonga Gonke Shoba, Khuthatso Madisa, as well as Andile Lungisa, the former councillor in Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolitan Council. And by the way, you can catch our podcast on iono.fm, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, or wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. Until next time, stay safe, sanitize, wear the mask, and avoid crowded places. I'm Mike Siluma, signing off.